This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 15th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have a story on how people are saving money by using power at non-peak times. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. Champaign County's biggest school district has endorsed a countywide sales tax to fund public school construction and renovation. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The official vote will come later, but last night, the Champaign Unit 4 School Board voted 6-0 to show their support for putting a referendum on the November ballot asking for a 1-cent countywide sales tax to fund public school facilities. School Board President Dave Tomlinson says Unit 4 could use the sales tax to build new north side classrooms to meet terms of the consent decree and other projects the district has been looking at ever since voters rejected a property tax hike to pay for school facilities 2 years ago.
We identified $166 million in facility needs with our studies a few years ago, and it could start us down that process of meeting the needs we've frankly been neglecting because of money.
And the resolution passed last night commits Unit 4 to using part of the special sales tax for property tax relief. To get the referendum on the ballot, school boards representing a majority of student enrollment in Champaign County must vote their approval. The Champaign and Urbana school districts alone could provide that majority. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Tonight, Champaign County board members start mulling over various options on how to pay for the financially struggling county nursing home. A variety of suggestions for increasing revenue and lowering costs are expected to come up when the board meets in study session. County Board Chairman and District 7 Democrat Pius Weibel says board members can't even consider divesting the county of the home or having it privatized until the county can make back the roughly $20 million it put into the home. Weibel says he has concerns over energy consumption and would hope to make things a bit more efficient than having to spend more than $400,000 a year for the home's power bills.
Also, we can't, you know, just turn off the heat, shut down the air conditioning. But maybe we can tinker with the way we manipulate the climate and perhaps save some money.
Weibel says financing the nursing home will be an ongoing process over a number of years as its population ages and healthcare systems change. Meanwhile, District 4 Republican Greg Knott says he wants to know more about the state's Medicaid cuts and if the state's reimbursement rates can be adjusted. The board recently was forced to lend the home $775,000 from other funds to help make up for that loss. Knott says the board should also review problematic expenses like the amount spent on contract nursing. Urbana residents urged the city council last night to take action against public access cable programming they say is racist and anti-Semitic. But council members decided to delay discussion until their April 28th committee meeting. And Alderman Dennis Roberts says he's not sure the council has the legal authority to do what residents ask. The program at the center of the controversy, Wake Up America, is submitted by Urbana resident Timothy Brunleave, and it features videos from Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network. Alderman Roberts says he understands the depth of residents' concerns, but he insists the issue cannot be resolved overnight.
Yes, we have very strong emotions about this, but I can't make all my decisions based on people's emotions. I have to understand the law. I have to understand human rights. I have to know what the Constitution allows.
No one on the Urbana Council gave their opinion during the meeting on how they'll address the concerns. Afterwards, Urbana's Mayor Laurel Pressing says their only legal recourse for blocking the program would be to ban all non-local programming from the public access service. Illinois' Department of Corrections has made a policy change that would keep certain parolees in custody. The Chicago Tribune reports an arrest warrant would be issued automatically to any parolee accused of domestic violence, stalking, or sex offenses. The change comes less than a week after Mercedes McCauley was killed by a parolee who had been charged with domestic battery and then released. Glenford Martinez was on parole in connection with a drug-related killing when he was charged with misdemeanor domestic battery after allegedly choking his ex-girlfriend. The Corrections Department didn't seek a warrant for violation of the parole. A recent report shows the state of Indiana puts more juveniles behind bars than almost any other state in the nation. Tony Arnold has more.
The report, released by the nonprofit Every Child Matters, ranks Indiana fourth among the states for the number of juveniles incarcerated. Michael Petit is the president of Every Child Matters. He says the high rate means one of two things. Either Indiana has tough policies in the courts, or
more likely, it has a weak network of health and social services that don't intervene early enough in a child's life to keep them on a more law-abiding, productive course.
Petit calls the bad behavior manufactured. It's a product of economic and social issues. An Indiana juvenile justice watchdog group says the numbers from the study are dated, and the number of incarcerated juveniles has been coming down in recent years. Every Child Matters puts Illinois at 39th among the states for juveniles incarcerated. I'm Tony Arnold.
Winter is gone, but Illinois' transportation agency is still feeling the effects. We have that story from Sean Crawford.
Money spent clearing highways over the winter was more than anticipated, so the Illinois Department of Transportation is implementing some changes to get costs under control. Road maintenance and mowing will be reduced until further notice, but spokesman Brian Williamson says the agency won't compromise safety.
If there's a big pothole on the roads, it's going to get fixed, so people don't need to worry about anything like that. This is just, you know, what can we do in the meantime to cut our costs just as much as we can in a time where finances are certainly tight.
Williamson says the agency is asking state lawmakers for additional money to get through the fiscal year, which ends in late June. The department budgeted $40 million for snow and ice removal, but the rough winter wound up costing IDOT more than twice that amount. I'm Sean Crawford.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Energy prices are rising and people are looking for ways to conserve power, but some ratepayers are saving money without actually cutting their energy use. Instead, they're changing when they use the power, as the Environment Report's Samara Freemark tells us.
It's Saturday morning, and Ellen and Peter Funk are doing laundry. The Funks used to do chores when most people do. They would get home from work and switch on their dishwasher, dryer, and computer. They never really paid attention to what that meant for their electricity bill.
I never thought about electricity before. Never, except when I got the bill. But you didn't have any control because you paid the same price whether you used it at 2 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon.
But a couple of years ago, the Funks started paying for their electricity differently than the rest of us. They live in one of only a handful of buildings in New York City that participate in a real-time pricing program. Real-time pricing charges consumers a different rate depending on when they use power. The Funks know that running their dishwasher or turning on a light will cost more at 5 p.m. than at 10 p.m. That's because they get a color-coded chart every month that breaks down their energy prices by time block.
The green here is low, and the green starts at 10 o'clock at night and goes through 1 o'clock the following afternoon. The yellow is medium, from 2 to 5 every day. And then Monday to Friday, there's a high period from 5 to 9, like stop. I think that's why they used red.
It's the same concept that makes cell phone minutes cost more during the day. Power costs more when more people want to use it. Real-time pricing can save consumers a lot of money. Peter Funk says his family saves hundreds of dollars a year by just shifting when they use energy.
It's an ongoing saving. You know, we do these things because they make sense economically. We don't do it because we're virtuous. We don't do it because we're better than our neighbor. We just, you know, this is the way we buy electricity because it makes sense.
Real-time pricing programs shift around power demand, so fewer people use energy during peak hours. A Department of Energy study earlier this year estimated that real-time pricing programs could cut peak energy use by about 15%. That could actually help regions improve air quality and conserve resources by decommissioning old polluting power plants. Here's how. Most areas have a network of power plants. Usually only a few of those plants, the newest, cleanest ones, are in use. But when energy demand peaks, the older, less efficient plants kick in. And those plants spew a lot of carbon dioxide and other pollutants into the air.
It's really not so much a number of the power plants, but the ones that you have to turn on at critical times.
Jim Gennaro is a New York City councilman. He also chairs the council's Committee on Environmental Protection. He says the plants that kick in when demand peaks are the worst in this system.
We have a lot of reserve capacity in the city, but these are the sort of like the older, dirtier plants. And when you run those at peak capacity, it really means a lot of pollution.
And Gennaro says those plants cost even when they're not producing energy. The city has to maintain them all the time so they can switch on when needed. That wastes energy and resources. It also means there are power plants that are only used a few weeks or even days a year. If power companies could cut peak energy demand, rarely used polluting plants could become totally unnecessary, and many could be shut down. For the Environment Report, I'm Samara Freemark.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
There's pleasant spring-like weather in the forecast for the next couple of days. Good thing, because it is spring after all. Our forecaster, Mike Sola, calls for a sunny day today across the two-state area with a high between 58 in eastern Indiana and 66 in western Illinois. In Champaign-Urbana, the high of around 63 degrees with south winds at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Clear tonight, not as cool. The lows between 35 in far eastern Indiana and 46 in western Illinois, 43 in Champaign-Urbana. And for tomorrow, sunny, breezy, and warm with highs ranging from 65 near Lake Michigan to 73 in southwest Illinois. Champaign-Urbana's high of around 70 degrees. Looking ahead, partly sunny for Thursday with a high of 72 before a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms moves in for Thursday night and into Friday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 15th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.